Right now it is time to bring in, speaking about water, because it's a very topic, an important topic that's coming up, it's time for the Berkshire Edge On Air. The BerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them. And right now we bring in Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And water is the topic.
Water is a big topic.
And
is one of the topics. By the way, if you're looking for waterfalls, there's always Bash Bish Falls.
That water, Arjun talks about cold water. That water never gets warm.
No, it doesn't.
No,
That's right. It's
like 52 degrees year-round. It's unbelievable. Now, I only know this because like 20 years ago, I actually went there when you could actually go swimming there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I looked at people when I got in, and I got out right away. I said, you got to be kidding me. Well, anyways, the water that we're talking about in Great Barrington.
Is it bottles?
Hey, the bottle ban stands. It stands.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
It was quite a dramatic night, I must say.
Well, it was a special town meeting in Great Barrington.
And there were more people there than there were at the regular town meeting. The place was packed. I mean, this is the auditorium of the high school. There were almost no empty seats left when the meeting began.
Yep.
And people were cheering their sides because people got up to speak, you know, pro and con the ban. And the moderator had to please request that people stop.
I was going to say, that's what they do here in Connecticut. You can't cheer or jeer.
No, you can't because it takes too long. I mean, you know, but you can feel that the tension in the room was quite palpable. And the arguments for repealing the ban.
Well, let's go back. First of all, for those listeners who don't know what we're talking about, in the May 7th town meeting, the town meeting, which is the legislative body of the town of Great Barrington, as it is in New England, as a town meeting for a form of government, voted on a petition brought by a group of citizens to ban single-use plastic water bottles. Not immediately, but within a year, because they are polluting the environment and are causing all kinds of problems. And that this was one small step for mankind, as I guess you could say. And the town went for it. But then there was a petition brought and signed by enough voters to reconsider this measure. So that's what they were doing this past Monday night, was to see whether they would repeal what they had just approved a few months before. It's quite a contentious issue.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, the people who are in favor of reducing the amount of plastic that we use, they won the day again.
And it was nobody knew how this was going to come out, because in order to have this on the ballot again, or in order to have a special town meeting and look at this again, you had to have at least 300 signatures on a petition, which they had. So there were something like 500 people at the meeting, 503 people, I think. And it wasn't clear, you know, because if the 300 people who had signed the petition were all there, it would have lost. But in the final vote, and it was, people were yelling at each other, and it was somebody asked for a secret ballot, which was done. And it came out, 300 to 200. So, the bottle ban was sustained by a third.
Yep.
And
we joined a couple of other towns, notably Concord, Massachusetts, who had done the same thing. It's a very progressive You know, the argument against it was, you know, what can we do as a small town? But really, and it's going to hurt the merchants. But I have to say that already there are some innovative ideas coming along. One, I had a phone call yesterday from the Fuel Coffee Shop, which is going to heartily embracing this idea. And is going to have a little water stop where you can come and fill up your water bottle with fresh water. Especially they've partnered with Berkshire Mountain Spring Water, which had previously made water in those little plastic bottles, and now they're going to be selling it in town. So it's.
So you bring your own container?
This is not going to be a great... You bring your own container, or you can buy one.
Oh, and the containers will be, I mean...
Will be glass.
The containers will be GBH2O.
Yep.
And there are somebody is already developing containers, which the local stores can also sell.
All right, now there was another important vote that night, though.
Yeah, well, this one was... Yeah, this is also a very emotional vote. David, why don't you say it?
Well, there's about a developer or a business, a landscaping and trucking and business that exists in a residential district just north of town on a little road, back road. And the residents there, it's a residential zone, and this has been a business that has really greatly expanded and is in violation of the zoning regulations, and he has continued to defy the zoning enforcement and continues to operate despite the fact that, you know, he's been issued... this is a 10-year-old issue. And he just defies
the... It's from the 1990s.
Yeah, but he's been, I think the cease and desist orders from the town go back about a decade. And the thing is, you know, he's just, the town is just not, has found itself between a rock and a hard place. It can issue cease and desist orders, but it has little else that it can do. And so he just continues to defy the town order, and he's so there was a petition that we'll buy him out and just get rid of him.
The town
will buy his property and turn it into something else.
And they had agreed on a price. Too.
And they'd agreed on a price,
which was lower than the retail, you know, the price that. Farmer would, or the trucker would have asked for.
And this brought out a lot of people to this special town meeting, and it required a 2/3 majority vote, and it failed.
Yeah, and you know, your heart went out to these poor neighbors because they say these huge, like 12 wheel trucks. Are starting up at 4 in the morning every day, going back and forth to this property, and they can't sleep. Their property is not worth anything, and you know, and the town is not enforcing the zoning. And the reason that the town proposed buying this guy out is that they are in litigation with this guy, and it will cost more for the litigation than the town might lose in this transaction. So they felt instead of continuing with the litigation, which could cost well over $100,000, that they should buy the guy out, resell the property. They may lose, you know, somewhere up to $100,000, but it'll be done.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, you know, and these poor people who are, you know, for years have been, and this was, you know, I mean, this was a kind of a pre-existing condition. It was a farm where the man did a little bit of trucking, and then he sold it to somebody else who expanded the trucking and waste disposal business
beyond what his permit.
Yeah,
and the argument really is that what's happening to us could happen to you, but they were not. The town voters were not persuaded to go along with this.
Well, they were afraid it was a slippery slope.
Yeah.
That once the town started buying up private property and reselling it, that, who knew how many situations like this there would be.
Yeah.
So they were, I think that a lot of the voters were concerned that, that this was only the beginning. But I think the larger issue, this may be a very local issue, but the larger issue really is whether towns can enforce their zoning rules. And what happens if somebody flagrantly violates zoning? There isn't very much that the town can do.
Yeah, it's a civil matter, not a criminal matter.
Right.
But in any case, that was the other issue on the town meeting.
Because this guy, the violator, the person who's violating the zoning, can just pay the fine, and it's cheaper than so you pay the fine and you continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
The town then has to decide whether or not to spend $100,000 in litigation, and even if the town wins, then all he has to do is pay his fine.
Wow.
So it's a very, it's a difficult situation, how you deal with these things retroactively.
All right. We'll move on to, I love the opening of your next story, to poison or not to poison. That is the question.
Well, Stockbridge Bowl is this rather beautiful and pristine, or supposedly pristine, body of water, next to Tanglewood. It stretches from Lenox to Stockbridge, and it's quite a lovely body of water, but it does have some problems, and namely it has this invasive milfoil, Eurasian milfoil, that grows in it, and the Stockbridge Bowl Association is trying to figure out how to deal with its the lake becoming clogged with this stuff. And so they propose that they will use a chemical to kill it. And there's a big argument about whether or not that's the proper way to do it. There's a big uproar from the town.
Well, yeah, and there were... There are many homes around the bowl too, and so that the people, the property owners have formed this. I mean, I think the Stockbridge Bowl Association was formed in about 1949, so it's a very long-standing organization to try to preserve the beauty and the healthiness of this lovely body of water, which really is there's a town beach. It's not just that it's private property. I mean, it's a real resource for the town, and it's beautiful.
I used to see fireworks shot over that at Tanglewood.
Well, we do.
In fact, what we like to do is to take our kayaks out and you paddle out to the middle of the bowl up towards the Tanglewood side, and just sit in your kayak and. Watch the fireworks explode above you. It's just magnificent. I mean, they boom and flash, and the sound echoes from the mountains on either side, and it's quite a lovely experience. And many people do that, by the way. The bowl is really filled with people in their little boats and kayaks out there.
This is
July 4th. And it's quite a tradition, actually.
All right. Well, this is a water edition of
Berkshire Edge.
Because now we're going to go to residents of Housatonic and their problems.
Yes, the hamlet of Housatonic is a little village within the town of Great Barrington, and it has a private water system. the Housatonic Water Works, and they've had all kinds of problems. The water itself comes from this clear and clean body of water, Long Pond, but the pipes are old, and as a water system, it cannot take advantage of public funding or grants from the state, so it's had trouble maintaining the water system, and people are complaining bitterly that their water is cloudy and muddy or muddy looking, and furthermore the hydrants in the town don't have enough water pressure. So the issue is what to do. There's quite an uproar over this, and what to do with this private water system that's owned by a fellow that Jim Mercer, who is owned this family business for quite some time. But there is talk of the town, buying it, which is another flag. It's sort of similar to the issue of the trucker, the issue that we were just talking about. It's whether or not the town would have to vote to whether to make this acquisition.
Well, this is a little different because it delves in a necessity in life and water, and if the only way you can get grants to bring it up to par is to have it owned by the...
Yeah, and while it's a private company, they can't get those grants. Yeah.
Well, they can't increase their rates enough to...
to offset the cost,
To offset the cost of the repair. And this system is quite old. It was initially started to serve the residents of the village so that who were working at the mills that were along the river in Housatonic. But those mills have closed down, and so this water system is limping along, so to speak, as best it can. But I'm sure we will be revisiting this issue in the future.
In the future, obviously. Well, let's wrap it up on a good note here, because we talked about the painted pianos a little bit the week before, and now those 16 pianos are now distributed.
Yes, they are. They're in 16 locations throughout the Berkshires, and the music school trying to encourage students and people to take advantage of available music lessons, and they're really quite lovely. They're painted. The music school got various artists to decorate them, and they're quite colorful and inviting, you might say. And there's one on the lawns of the Mason Library in Great Barrington. There's one in Sheffield at the library. And there's one on the lawn of the music school itself. And our little story talks about Tracy Wilson, who's the director of the music school, talks about this project, which is actually a fundraiser for its scholarship fund to pay for students to take music lessons. But there is a video of her. She's a pretty good pianist, actually. And there's a video of her playing some Bach on one of these pianos out in the lawn. She's quite delightful. And she used to work for the BSO.
Okay. And we tell people just the top of the pianos are painted, right?
Yeah. The whole piano is painted, but there's usually a painting on the top.
Yeah.
These are these uprights. It's really quite amusing, and as I say, it's quite inviting.
And I would also, speaking of music, I would like to put in a plug.
Here we go, the Shameless Plug Society.
We should have music for this.
Berkshire High Peaks Festival.org. This is a wonderful music festival that's taking place at the Berkshire School on in Sheffield this week on Route 41. And it's being organized by Close Encounters with Music, which I chair. But this is a collection of young musicians from all over the world who are here for 10 days to play and perform, and it's open to the public. And these are charming concerts with a combination of a very sophisticated professional faculty and wonderful, beautiful young musicians who are learning to be professional musicians. It's all open to the public. There's a concert every evening at 7:30, and there are master classes and talks and very interesting things that you can attend. So you can find all the information at BerkshireHighPeaksMusic.org.
That's Berkshire High Peaks.
Yeah, no S at the end of Berkshire's. BerkshireHighPeaksMusic.org.
And, of course, it's at the beautiful Berkshire School.
Which it is.
And their facilities really...
Just north of Connecticut.
Route 41, where WBSL is.
Yeah, WBSL carries us on. Their radio station carries us.
And
their facilities there are outstanding. And
Yes, they are.
And very easy to get to. Just Route 41. Just take it north.
Route 41 between Salisbury and Sheffield.
All right.
Well, no.
No.
In Egremont. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just north of Berkshire School Road in Sheffield.
Yeah. All right.
It's Sheffield. That is true.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for today, guys.
Okay.
And, all right.
If people want more, of course, theberkshireedge.com.
Yes.
Okay. And there is more.
Yes.
Always.
All right. We'll speak
to you. And our calendar of events.
All right. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio.